The Torah in Parshas Bamidbar. So we're going to try to note a question and two answers, and one of them I think very beautifully ties together with Shavuos. Torah teaches us here in Bamidbar Parak Gimel, Eila told us Aaron Moshe b'yom di b'har Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai. Torah tells us we're going to learn about the progeny, the toldos of Aaron and Moshe. But then, as many of the Mefarshim point out, the Torah goes on to pretty much only list the children of Aaron. So it opens up by saying the children of Aaron and Moshe. But then we're only taught the children about the children of Aaron, and many of the Mefarshim are bothered with why that would be. Aaron's children were Aaron's children, and they weren't Moshe's children. So why would the Chumash almost make it seem like they are? That's a question which bothered many, many of the Mefarshim. Rashi has a very famous comment based on the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin. But first, we'll note what Rabshat, which I think is not as well known, the Or Chaim HaKadosh, as well as the Kli Yakar, offer a powerful suggestion. The Torah tells us in Sefer Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu said that Aaron, we know, had messed up with Chet HaEgel on some level, and Moshe Rabbeinu, at least the way some of the Mefarshim explained it, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually wanted to punish Aaron and may have wanted to kill Aaron's children as a result for a punishment for what happened in Chet HaEgel. But it was dafka through Moshe's tefillah that Moshe was able to try and avoid it. It's Dvarim in Perek Tes, Pasuk Kaf, Uva Aaron is Hanaf Hashem Me'od L'Hashmido, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy Aaron, and many Mefarshim understand to mean to wipe out Aaron's children. Why did Hashem not wipe out Aaron's children? So explains the Kli Yakar, explains the Or HaChaim, because Aaron was there, because Moshe davened for Aaron. So since Moshe davened for Aaron, and Moshe in a certain sense saved the lives of Aaron's children, so because Moshe saved their lives, that's why they're going to be called Moshe's children. In a certain sense, he allowed them to continue living. Okay, that was only true for half of the children, not all the children, the Klekar points out. It's part of his discussion there. Rashi, however, quotes the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin with a very, very famous and simple Ha'ara. Says Rashi, well, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aaron's children, and the Gemara tells Masech Sanhedrin, Daf Yates, that when you teach someone, Kol Melamed is Ben Chaveiro Torah, when you teach someone else's children Torah, it's Ki'ilu Yadot, as if you gave birth to them. So Moshe's Ki'ilu, the father of Aaron's children, because Moshe taught Aaron's children Torah. Moshe taught Aaron's children Torah, and therefore it's Ki'ilu, he gave birth to them. Rav Shechter points out that, again, removing Margolios also in the Margolios Hayam there, Masech Sanhedrin, this has halacha l'maisa ramifications. That when you teach Ben Chaveiro Torah, it's Ki'ilu Yilad. Rav Shechter points out that that's why the Chachma Shlomo and Evan Ezer in the way beginning says, if a couple struggles with fertility and is unable to have children, so if you adopt and you raise those children with Torah values, that's a mixas kiyam even in the din of Peruvu, because in a certain sense it's as if you really raised them. Why is that so? Why is teaching Torah as if you raised them? I understand teaching Torah is important, but why does it become as if you brought them, not raised them, sorry, as if you brought them into this world, if you gave them life? Why is that so important? So one pshat, the Maharsha in Maseches Sanhedrin suggests, the Maharsha says, because what separates man from animals, or what separates, man from animals? What really does is a person who knows Torah, says the Maharsha, that's a person who's really elevated himself. He's made himself into a full, complete kind of person. And without that, he wouldn't be the same person at all. Without that, maybe in a certain sense, he'd be no different. He'd be similar. And again, in a certain sense, he'd be similar to an animal. And what allows a person to become elevated and to become really like a person of a certain madrega is the fact that they were taught Torah. So says the Maharsha, that's why it's Kilu, you gave birth to him. Because otherwise, maybe he wouldn't be a full person all the way. What allows him to be a full Ben Adam, a full kind of person, is the fact that he was taught, Torah. There is another question on Rashi. It's a question the Kli Yakar asks and the Maharal asks. And it gives us, I believe, another insight into why teaching someone Torah is as if you gave birth to them. The Kli Yakar asks, well, if whoever Moshe taught Torah to is viewed as Moshe's descendants, so Moshe taught Torah to all of Klal Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael should be viewed as Moshe's descendants, not only the children of Aharon. So asks the Kli Yakar, and so asks the Maharsha. L'chora, they all really should be. He says, V'im tomar v'chila hem levad limeid. Hello, kol Yisrael limeid. Rashi in Parshas Kisis, I believe, in Shmos, Lamed Dala, Lamed Beis, Rashi tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Moshe taught to all of Klal Yisrael. So how come only Aaron's children are considered to be the toldos of Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Maharal offers the following insight. The insight is somewhat hard to understand. Rav Hartman in the footnote connects it to a comment of the Maharal about Kabbalah Satorah, and we'll try to give, I think, a very, very important formulation. Says the Maharal as follows, Yisrael, The way the Maharal said it is as follows. Moshe didn't have a choice. The Moshe got the Torah with the explicit command, and only Al Tanai he was going to teach it to Klal Yisrael. When you do it only as a result of a tzivoy, when the reason why you do it is because Moshe only got the Torah, Al Tanai, to give it over, that's not going to form the relationship of like a father and son. He did it, it was a requirement, but it's not going to be anywhere near as transformative. Aval mashalimei libnei Aaron yoser mimashalimei liYisrael zehaya mimoshe levad. Moshe chose, it wasn't because of a commandment, Moshe chose to teach Torah to bnei Aaron, and somehow when you do it out of your own volition, you do it on your own, that is really, it wasn't he get the Torah al Tanai for this, it wasn't commanded, that is what allows you to be considered if you gave birth to them. What exactly is the pshat? So we'll dig one step further. The Maharal in Parshas Vayigash tells us the following. It's a very, very simple klal. The Maharal gives din. The Maharal gives an explanation for it. In general, we assume gerushin is gayer kekatan shenola dami. That whenever a convert converts, so he's viewed as if he's a katan. That obviously, for the vast majority of our chorim, that's taken literally. He doesn't have to wait 13 years for his bar mitzvah. But he, in a certain sense, is viewed as a katan shenola. All his family relationships, in a certain sense, are considered to be canceled when you convert. But it's pretty clear at Har Sinai, even though Klal Yisrael, the Gemara tells us, were gerim at Har Sinai, we didn't have this principle of gerushin gayer katan shenola dami. At Har Sinai, you were still usher to your sister. You were still usher to your mother. Family relationships persisted even after the gerus of Har Sinai. Why is that so? So the Maharal says, because ger shenis gayer katan shenola dami doesn't apply when you're forced into gerus. Bnei Yisrael was forced into the gerus of Maimon Har Sinai, because the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, kaf aleim har kigigis, that the Ribbono Shel Olam held up Har Sinai over Klal Yisrael and said, do this, if not, sham tekvu raschem. And says the Maharal, there's no din of gerushin is gayer when you're forced into it. Why? What's the pshat? So, Rav Hutner has a mahalach pachetzak and shvuis, which we're not talking about right now. I think what part of the pshat is, I think, the way to say it, and this I think Rav Hutner says a little bit, but the way to say it, the only way that Torah really becomes transformative is when you don't just do it because of a tzivoy, and you don't just do it because someone forces you to do so. If you want Torah to really transform your identity, it has to be that you do it above and beyond what you're commanded to do. As an example, a ger, again, it's a different shot than the way Futner says it, but Klal Yisrael and Maimon Har Sinai, it wasn't going to be as transformative to give them ger shnis dayer kekaten shenola dami. It's not going to transform them entirely because they didn't do it on their own. And Kabbalah's HaTorah only transforms you. Being Mekabel, when you're a ger and you're Mekabel Ol Mitzvos, it only transforms you when you, on your own free will, wanted to do so. And that's the pshat in the Maharal here also. The only Moshe taught Torah to all of Klal Yisrael, but that was in a certain sense a chiyuv. That was in a certain sense a tzivoy. When he taught Bnei Aaron, he went above and beyond. And when you go above and beyond, that changes the natures of relationships. It's a much more transformative kind of Talmud Torah. That's the kind of Talmud Torah which is going to make the relationship between Moshe and Aaron's children as like father and son. Because there's Torah that you do out of a sense of obligation, and there's Torah that gets taught, and there's Torah that gets learned when you're not really obligated to do so. When a Rebbe teaches Talmidim above and beyond what is necessary, so that forms the kind of relationship which is like father-son. That forms a kind of relationship which is really above and beyond. When a ger comes to accept Torah mitzvah, he's not obligated to do it at all, that transforms him, that makes him into someone that is very, very different. That's very, very different. That's how Torah in many ways is transformative. Kabbalah's HaTorah did have transformative components, but the ger shnis gayer katan shenola dami, the only way it can really sort of like reinvent ourselves in a certain sense is when a person goes above and beyond, when a person does certain things that are more than expected. I want to chaz what we said and maybe just make one suggestion here that I think is important. Torah says that it makes it sound like Aaron's children were really Moshe's children. And the question is why? So Yerachaim and the Kliyakar say, because he davened for them. He helped save their lives by davening. Hashem is going to wipe them out post Chedei Egel. And Moshe davened for Aaron's children. He saved at least two of them from being killed. And therefore, it's Ki'ilu, he gave birth to them. It's Ki'ilu, he saved their lives. However, Rashi says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, if you teach someone else Torah, it's Ki'ilu, you gave birth to them. So since Moshe taught Aaron's children, Skeel, he was in a certain sense a spiritual father. Now, Aaron was still their father, but Moshe also, in a certain sense, was a spiritual father. We asked, well, why would that be? So the Maharsha says, because the person who doesn't learn Torah is not fully alive the same way. He's not fully accomplishing what he's meant to do and what it means to be a full Adam in the most true sense. When you teach them Torah, you're allowing them to be a full Adam. The Maharal, though, has a different suggestion. Torah sometimes can be transformative. Sometimes Torah is just you learn it and it's powerful and it's important. That's a Torah that I'm forced to do. But a Torah that I'm not forced to do, when you go above and beyond, that's what transforms relationships and that's what transforms people. So Klai Yisrael Maim Harsinai, we're forced into it, so it's not going to become like a Katan Shanola Dami. And when Moshe taught Aaron's children, that when he taught Klai Yisrael, he was chayav to do so. So it wasn't going to be that same kind of just unfathomable, again, transformative kind of a kesher. First clarity thus far, just one, two, and I'll share with you a suggestion. I wonder if that's one of the reasons why on Shavuos night is not about maximizing just time of Talmud Torah, as many point out. You could probably learn maybe more if we had a regular day of morning Seder. If you went to sleep at night and you had a regular day of morning Seder, you may be able to learn more. Part of what we're trying to accomplish by staying up all night on Shavuos may be something else, which is highlighting the experience of Talmud Torah, in a certain sense, a statement of, we want this and we want to go above and beyond. The act of staying up all night may not be as many hours for some of us as maybe it would be otherwise, although it probably is, but it may not necessarily be as many hours as it would be otherwise. But what it does do, it's an incredibly powerful statement. I'm going above and beyond. And I'm making a statement that I want this, and I'm making a statement that I want Torah to be something which radically transforms me, which has the capacity to elevate me, not transform in an unhealthy way, transform in terms of elevating and purifying and making you someone who is just a little bit more special. Guys, have a wonderful